Last week I was going into town and was sitting at the bus stop when an older woman who was there engaged me in conversation. She had been into the city already and she commented on how empty things were and how difficult it was for the business people who were trying to find customers to come into their stores. And then she took the conversation somewhat deeper, and she expressed sadness at the loss of life, a young woman in her 20s. And I tried then to guide the conversation, and I said, well, we need to find a way to give young people hope. But she moved on to her next topic, which was that she was catching the bus to go and meet a friend who was suffering from cancer. All this in the space of a very short conversation. A struggling businesses in the city, a young life lost, a person with cancer. In each of these situations that she mentioned, there was a real need for hope. And while hope isn't the full answer, it is in large part what people need in their lives. Do you think people in Auckland today are more or less hopeful than they were this time last year? Think about your own life for a moment. Consider those who are close to your heart, or perhaps, like the stranger I met at the bus stop, just someone who has crossed your path. Wouldn't each of our lives be so much better with an infusion of hope? There's a verse in Proverbs that just rests a little bit uncomfortably with me, which says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And if you think about that for a moment, I'm sure as you reflect on it, you'll find the truth that is there. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And I wonder how many of our friends or neighbours or the people in our communities in Auckland at the moment have this sense of heart sickness because of hope deferred. I wonder how many end of year assemblies at schools have been deferred, or graduations that people had hoped for this year. I wonder how many people had made wedding plans and have had to step back from them, or people who have been planning significant parties for a 21st or a 60th or retirement, perhaps holidays that were being planned but then flights were cancelled. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. As I thought of the theme of Advent, the theme of hope, the stories of Elizabeth and Hannah came to mind. Both were women who were longing to have a child. And then in the fullness of time, their sons would become significant prophets in the life of Israel. But prior to this, their hopes were unfulfilled. We catch a glimpse of the heartache that this caused in Hannah's life. When making an annual visit to the temple, we read of her, in deep anguish, she prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. Such was her anguish, her sobbing, her total absorption in this prayer, that she was praying in her heart, but her lips were not moving. Her lips were moving, but her voice not heard. And so Eli thought that she was drunk and said to her, put away your wine. Have you ever been so moved in prayer that someone looking at you might mistake it for drunkenness? Hannah responded, correcting Eli, explaining she was not drunk, but instead she was a person in deep anguish, a troubled soul, a person in grief, hoping against hope, even grieving because her hopes for a child had not been fulfilled. Eli the priest recognizing his mistake, sent her home, saying, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant what you have asked of him." Then soon afterwards, Hannah had a son, Samuel, who went on to become one of the great prophets in Israel. And I think Hannah's prayer stands out to us as one of the great moments in the Bible, where she, this woman, broken, heartsick, is clinging to God with the last vestiges of hope that she had, putting that hope in God. When we come to the New Testament, the circumstances of Elizabeth were really quite different, but they had in common that neither had a child. In Elizabeth's case, she was older and beyond having children. We don't see in Elizabeth the same anguished prayer, but we do glimpse this as we read through the story. The opening of Luke's gospel is so busy and filled with all that is happening leading to the birth of Christ that it's almost easy to slip past the words of the angel who says, "Your prayer has been heard and will be answered." Of course, this is Zechariah's prayer that he is talking about, but I think by association, it's also Elizabeth's prayer. Zechariah was a priest by lot. It had fallen to him this high honor of serving at the altar of the Lord. This was a privilege that happened only once in a lifetime. And perhaps while he was there and while the people of Israel had gathered to worship, he used his proximity to the presence of God to offer his own little prayer on the side, the prayer that he and Elizabeth had most likely prayed for such a long time. And standing there in the holy place, he took the opportunity to again lift it to God. However, this prayer had been a part of Elizabeth's life. The angel Gabriel now appeared to Zechariah and said to him, "Do not be afraid. Your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John." The angel acknowledged the prayer and gave the hope that this prayer had been heard and would now be granted. And this child born to them, raised by them, would carry a message of hope to the people of Israel, a message that the people of Israel were longing to hear. It was centered on the mission and ministry of John, who we read would be great in the sight of the Lord, turning hearts of the people to God and preparing the way of the Lord. Imagine when Zechariah went home to share this news with Elizabeth. Perhaps she greeted him at the door. "Come on in, dear. Tell me about your day. Did anything interesting happen?" But Zechariah couldn't speak. As a sign, he was now no longer able to speak. And I wonder how he conveyed the news. Have you ever played charades? How would you try to convey this to someone? "An angel told me you're going to have a baby and we must call him John." Clearly, Elizabeth was a woman of faith. Her hope and her longing for a child was to be fulfilled even in her old age. But inasmuch as this was a personal hope, the answer to this prayer would also be an answer to the hope of the people of Israel. For John would herald a much greater fulfillment, a much greater hope, a hope for Israel, a hope for the nations, in his message of the coming Messiah. Later in this story, just after John was born, Zechariah was able to speak. And he said, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, which by the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet to the path of peace." And as you think about it, those words are so rich, so full of hope. And I invite you to take a moment today, perhaps to read through them again, and to let that hope touch you and again rise in your heart. I, like many others around the world, enjoyed watching the recent eclipse of the moon. I watched as the sun began to cast the shadow, the earth's shadow, over the moon, and little by little the brightness of the moon faded until it was in darkness. Perhaps in a similar way, through the current lockdown, this has cast a shadow over our lives, an eclipse in which we feel the darkness stretch over us. Zechariah spoke words of hope, speaking of the rising of the sun, shining from heaven on those living in darkness. And perhaps we feel today something more of the darkness in our world. But hope is like a light that will dispel shadows and disperse darkness. Well, what difference does this make to us? Perhaps our experience of the lockdown, our concerns over COVID, calls us to come to Advent in a slightly different way this year. The theme of hope is perhaps more important to us than in the past. Our experiences through this year bring to us a sharper contrast between darkness and light. And this year, perhaps more than other years, we and the people of our city, nation, and world need hope. Advent is often filled with end-of-year dinners and the rush around Christmas. But this year, perhaps more than any other time in my life, we have more serious matters on our minds. I imagine around Auckland today there are a number of people who feel that they have battered souls, that they are worn and weary and lacking hope. People who feel perhaps weak, unstable in life, broken, alone and lonely. Perhaps this is you, or someone close to you, someone you know and love. Perhaps you have found yourself praying in desperation like Hannah, clinging to God as your only hope. Or perhaps like Elizabeth, you feel that hope has passed you by. Perhaps it seems too late, hope is unfulfilled. In Zechariah's prophecy, he spoke of the tender mercy of our God. More than ever, we need this tender mercy, a gentle, caring, sensitive mercy in our lives. Isaiah expressed the hope of the tender care of the Messiah and said, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out." You see, God deals gently with those who are feeling bruised, and he breathes new life, rekindling the smouldering wick. This is the merciful nature of our God, in whom we find our hope. We find in the prophecy of Zechariah, there is hope of salvation, forgiveness, tender mercy, light, and peace. And as the psalmist wrote, "Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him." And so I invite you to take that hope to your heart. Perhaps take that hope to your family and your friends. Allow God to minister to you with his tender mercy as we come to this time of Advent and once again begin to rekindle the hope that is in our lives. All this through Christ. Amen.